low-altitude, high-speed passes with an abrupt pull-up, and taking off over maximum gross. Why they're both bad ideas. I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot, also of Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated, a flight school in the Buffalo, New York area based at the Lancaster Buffalo Airport. Bob joins us on Mondays to talk safety features, and Bob, very nice to have you on board today.
As always, it's my privilege, Paul.
In the most recent edition of Over the Airwaves, the October edition, you had a case study of a 20,000-hour pilot who had just about every rating available from the FAA, who nevertheless got into a situation that is a real head-scratcher in a Yak-52 getting set to do aerobatics. Tell us about that story.
Well, this is another one of those sad cases where you just, like you say, you scratch your head and say, why did it happen? And this in fact, was a 20,000-hour pilot flying a Yak-52, a two-place airplane, a very nice, very capable aerobatic airplane. But in this particular case, he made a couple of high-speed passes over the runway, 30 to 40 feet above the ground. And then in the last one, he pitched upwards abruptly, no doubt to dazzle the crowd or to show his airmanship skills, and he climbed very steeply. And on the climb, the airplane was observed doing an aileron roll to the right. And it went inverted, then went into a stall, and then, according to witnesses, it looked like it hit some turbulence, and then the airplane rolled upside down and then descended to the ground in a virtual nose-low attitude, and both pilots were killed. And you have to ask yourself, you know, what went wrong? Well, when we looked at the NTSB probable cause report, they said the pilot's failure to maintain an airspeed sufficient to avoid a stall during a low-altitude aerobatic maneuver. Contributing to the accident was the low altitude at which the pilot initiated the maneuver. Now, you know, anybody who's done any kind of training recently knows that we cannot do any performance maneuvers or aerobatic maneuvers that result in an altitude anything less than 1,500 feet AGL. And from what we can discern from the report, they were well below this when it took place. So, you know, what really happened? Nobody will know what really happened. Did he become distracted or disoriented at the top side of the roll? Was he overtaken by some overwhelming desire to impress the crowd? Maybe even his passenger panicked and grabbed the stick or rudder during the maneuver. As I said before, we'll never know. But he had no back door. I don't know if they were wearing chutes, but had they been wearing chutes, they would have been too low to vacate the airplane and survive the landing. But the tragic part of this is we're not alone. He is not alone. I think we've all done this, and I've certainly done high-speed, low-altitude passes over the runway. But to pitch up into an attitude that causes a stall followed by a roll is really, really tempting fate, and it's something that I think we just have to watch that bravado in all of us to use some sane common sense to save those kind of maneuvers for properly trained aerobatic pilots doing them within the legal limits of the airspace.
Let's talk briefly about those legal limits, because that 1,500-foot restriction is waived for people who have an aerobatic competency card.
Yeah, and those are done with a permit issued by the FAA, and they're done under strict supervision, and they're not done over top of the crowd, and they're done at, you know, within the box specified by the controlling agency and at an altitude that's considered safe. Now, whether or not this pilot had an air show permit during this event, you know, we just don't know from the circumstances, but nonetheless, we had a bad outcome, and aside from the fact that two lives were lost, two families are grieving, a lot of people saw another bad side of general aviation.
Well, and we don't even know that this passenger on board this plane was another pilot. All we know is that the guy took a passenger with him.
Yeah, and you won't find in too many air shows pilots with passengers doing air show maneuvers. You know, it's a single pilot operation. It's just to prevent the unlikely event that maybe the passenger panicked and pulled the stick at the wrong time.
Well, and I was privileged to ride a couple of years ago at an air show on Media Day with the Red Baron Pizza Squadron, and went up and they did some, you know, fairly gentle aerobatic stuff. We did a loop, for example, that stayed under 3 G's. And they have the stick and the pedals removed from that aircraft.
There you go. The specially designed airplanes. And maybe that explains the recent weight gain of flying with a Red Baron.
Well,
sorry,
actually,
Paul, and I'm not making inference that there was any recent weight gain, believe me.
Well, you know, if you use the product enough, you can't be their pilot anymore, I guess.
That's right.
Well, that outfit has disbanded. But it occurs to me, Bob, that this is not just an aerobatic issue. I know that I've been to... Well, I'll avoid naming names or brands here, and I'll be careful to not cast aspersions on an entire group. But I remember being at a couple of gatherings of a particular home-built kit aircraft enthusiasts of this particular kind of aircraft, where some of the guys who had equipped them for performance, this was not an aberration. This was kind of the normal departure when the event closed, is to do the high-speed pass and then pull it up hard. And in the gyroplane world, I know this is a very small niche that most people don't know about, but there is a frequent contributor to an accident known as the zoom climb, where after, you know, gaining speed and ground effect and pulling up into a steep climb, you get to the top, and if you push the nose over too fast to regain airspeed, you can unload the rotors with tragic results. There are just any number of everyday circumstances that occur where people can get into this kind of trouble.
Yes, yes, and I'll be the first to admit that I, too, have... been engaged in maneuvers that, in retrospect, I would never do again, particularly as a young, more energetic pilot. But as we grow older, hopefully we grow wiser, and we really have to sit back and maybe a thoughtful reading of the accident statistics and the accident data on a once a month basis. We certainly pack over the airwaves with these accident reports and analyses. That certainly has caused me to think and rethink the way I fly. You know, there's something about taking a chance in life, but when that chance is lost or it doesn't come out the way you want it, unfortunately, death is the common denominator as a result, and that's just too high a price to pay.
Yeah, there's an obvious risk-reward detachment happening there somewhere in that analysis.
Yes.
Bob, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about taking off over maximum takeoff weight. And you cited a specific case. I want to talk a little bit about that. Bob Miller is my guest. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob, you, in the most recent edition of Over the Airwaves, the October edition, which folks can find at overtheairwaves.com, one of the topics you discussed was flying an aircraft over its rated maximum gross takeoff weight. And in specific, you mentioned the case of a Cirrus SR-22 that was 315 pounds overweight and had 262 pounds in the aft baggage compartment. And I have to tell you that in my limited experience flying, I have talked to a number of pilots who seem to treat this fairly casually. One even remarked that if you put more weight in the aircraft than is intended in the passenger seats and the fuel tanks combined, you actually will wind up closer to the center of gravity envelope than you would if you had baggage and a lighter load of pilots and fuel, if that makes any sense. But this is apparently nothing to toy with.
I think a person who told you that might be asked to show you his test pilot credentials. on a particular make and model aircraft, because that's what we are. Anytime we're operating an aircraft overweight, we in effect become a test pilot. Now, there's lots of theory behind weight and balance in an airplane, but the proof of the pudding is in what actually happened. In this particular case, it was a Cirrus. They took off 315 pounds, as you said, overweight, and they had more than 132 pounds excess in the baggage compartment in the back. And the airplane took off, stalled, rolled, and they tried to pull the chute, but there wasn't sufficient altitude to save the day. There was one fatality. I think one or two passengers may have survived. But the NTSB came along and said in their probable cause report, the pilot's failure to maintain sufficient airspeed, which resulted in a stall and subsequent spin, contributing to the accident, were the pilot's inadequate pre-flight planning and the overloaded condition of the airplane. Here was a Cirrus, a wonderfully designed airplane, four people in the airplane, plus baggage, full fuel, and I mean, they're really, and they're clearly overweight. Whether or not they bothered to compute a weight and balance after doing this is pure conjecture, but something went wrong. And when something goes wrong, if they lose an engine in the climb, for example, and they have an aft CG, and that was not necessarily the case in this particular instance, but witnesses on board the airplane that survived said that they reported the pilot was, quote, pulling backwards on the control yoke of the aircraft, trying to keep the aircraft nose up. Well, this, to me, is counterintuitive. If the airplane's struggling to maintain altitude because of an overweight condition, the last thing we want to be doing is pulling the yoke backwards or the stick backwards to maintain altitude. We should know that it's airspeed that leads to altitude, not the control yoke. But the message here is, we have these wonderful airplanes, and we have very complete POHs, and the marketing department of these aircraft companies would love to say that we could go 300 or 400 pounds overweight, but they don't, and they don't for good reason, for instances just like this.
Well, and actually, this particular case, Bob, if you read all the details, is instructive in a number of ways. This particular flight, the pilot took off and climbed through a low cloud layer. So here's little red light number one for me, then attempted to level off at 4,000 feet. Now, if you're going to make effective use of a ballistic airframe parachute, I don't know what the specific requirement is in an SR-22, but if you lose time trying to correct a stall and then you end up falling and then you're in clouds, there's just a whole lot of things potentially going wrong here.
Well, to Cirrus credit, I've been critical of the ballistic recovery chute because I think it's been a crutch to far too many pilots who pulled it unnecessarily. And, I cannot back that up with fact, and neither can Cirrus. A number of expensive airplanes have been destroyed simply because somebody pulled the lever rather than fly the airplane back into its normal envelope and land safely. But in this case, where you have ineptness of such enormous proportion, where the pilot has just basically given up on the airplane, for the sake of the passengers, pull the chute. And there have been a number of incredible saves as a result. But the chute in itself should not be used as an excuse for poor piloting performance or poor competence. In this case, he didn't even manage to use the chute properly, because at 4,000 feet, there's certainly adequate altitude to which to affect a safe recovery in the chute. But again, this is pure conjecture and some statements from some of the non-pilots aboard the airplane. They spent so much time struggling to keep the airplane aloft, again, by pulling back on the stick, that by the time they realized that all was lost, they were simply too close to the ground for the chute to open fully.
Well, and I have to think that this could happen to a lot of pilots, because this guy had 2,570 total hours and 365 in type.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you would have thought he had enough experience in that to do that, but maybe this was the first time in a heavily loaded airplane, and that's something else again. Many of us do things and get away with it so many times that we think we can get away with it yet another time. And maybe he was in a habit of flying slightly overweight in airplanes. We don't know. I mean, this is pure speculation. Maybe he's been always have overweight 200 pounds, and hey, what's another 100 pounds or two? I think the airplane, I don't think there's any question in my mind the airplane could have handled it, and I'm not justifying an overweight takeoff under any circumstance. But there has to be a certain awareness of the aerodynamics of an airplane in a near stall condition caused by excess weight. We have to keep that airspeed and the pitch in proper control to avoid a stall. And this is apparently what this guy wound up doing.
Well, and if you're overweight, you may have to keep a little more airspeed to avoid a stall.
More airspeed, yeah, absolutely, and limit the climb. I mean, airspeed is king on the climb. Airspeed is king in all cases. We have to keep that airspeed as a measure of pitch attitude in order to keep it out of the stall.
Obviously, we sometimes get into conjecture here, but I'll say it again. You can learn as much from what might have happened as you can from a factual report. And we appreciate your willingness to go there, and we'll talk to you again next Monday.
Thanks again, Paul. Talk to you soon.
You can find out more about Bob Miller and Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated by visiting his website at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.